Lord, wash again all our hearts as we wash one another's feet, that we may know love and we may know you. Amen. It's only 6 years after the attacks of September 11th, 2001, that I took my first ministry placement in an Episcopal church as a seminarian at Trinity Wall Street and served for a while at St. Paul's Chapel, located directly across the street from Ground Zero, the World Trade Center grounds. The chapel there had been one of the primary staging grounds for the enormous relief effort following September 11th, and the impact of that effort left its mark literally and indelibly on the physical structure of the chapel. Firemen and police officers were fed in the nave of the chapel and rested on its pews between shifts on the pile, that continuously burning heap of rubble, the remnants of the demolished towers and the surrounding buildings. To this day, the pews that remain there bear the marks of the relief workers' tool belts and their sidearms, deep gouges and scuffs that cannot easily be erased or forgotten. One of my favorite spots in the chapel was a replica colonial box pew known as the Washington Pew, George Washington having at one time worshiped there, and Episcopalians fond of putting up brass plaques to mark things like that. It had been affectionately retitled the Podiatrist's Pew. The extra space of the enclosed pew allowed the steady stream of volunteer podiatrists the room necessary to tend to the blistered and battered feet of the relief workers. The heat and conditions of that burning slag heap often meant that workers returned from Ground Zero with boots melted at where they were on their feet, souls seriously wounded. The pew became the podiatrist's office, stocked with gauze and stitches and an abundance of salves and ointments to soothe and to tend. To this day, relief workers will often refer to the podiatrist's pew, or perhaps the shoe companies who donated work boots free of charge in every size, as one of the most meaningful contributions anyone could have made to the relief effort, and trust that there were many contributions made. It seems that tending to broken feet was a direct path to tending broken hearts. Feet are understandably often neglected and overlooked parts of the body. They bear the brunt of most of our labor throughout the day and are usually regarded with embarrassment. We talk jokingly of aching feet and gnarly toes, hobbit feet and smelly socks. In ancient times, feet were in almost continuous contact with the very real dreck and stench of the pre-modern world, excrement and dirt and disease. It is reported that even today, the most prominent routes of pilgrimage in Europe are still populated with foot clinics where volunteers tend to the feet of weary pilgrims. So it was, and so it still is, that tending to feet is synonymous with intimacy, humility, and generosity. Such is the character and feeling of tonight's service, repeated over the centuries, relevant as the day it began, there at the table with the disciples in that room. When we touch one another's feet, we do so with tenderness and care, anointing and washing and drying them. We participate in the Novum Mandatum, the new mandate from which this evening draws its name, Maundy Thursday. When we carefully tend to the lesser members of our brothers and sisters' bodies, we are living into Christ's command to love one another as he loved us. This sort of work does not come naturally or easily to most of us, conditioned as we are to self-sufficiency and taught to hide our weaknesses and our deficiencies from one another. The act of vulnerability to expose our calluses, our bent toes to the light of day, let alone to intentionally offer them up, smells and all, into the hands of another. It does not happen without first pushing through the barriers of fear and shame that we each carry. The fear is understandable. We have seen time and again the disastrous outcomes that vulnerability can lead to. Cue in your minds the horrible images of those nerve gas victims recently in Syria, or the tragic stories in our own nation of when families of undocumented immigrants are torn apart through deportation. Vulnerability, particularly involuntary vulnerability, can be terrifying. But so can intentional vulnerability. In 1974, the artist Marina Abramović, in a provocative piece of performance art, stood completely passive and still for 6 hours in a gallery in Naples, with tables of objects of both, as she said, pleasure and pain in front of her, and an invitation to her audience to do to her as they wished. The event started tamely enough. Feathers, a rose, grapes, and honey were used in playful ways. But the exhibition grew more and more aggressive and dangerous as time passed. She was cut and abused and assaulted, and even had a loaded gun pointed at her head. The vulnerability she experienced, though voluntary, was terrifying. As Abramović recounts, if you leave it up to the audience, they can kill you. We only need pause a beat and we can hear the crowds shouting, "Crucify, crucify." But what if vulnerability is the only path forward? What if our only hope is to be found in placing our smelly, sweaty, blistery feet in the hands of another? Maundy Thursday seems to contend that this might indeed be the case. Jesus, the leader, the teacher, the respected and wise one, steps up from the table, strips off his outer robes, wraps a towel around his waist, and assumes the posture of a servant. And when he has washed their feet, despite Peter's justifiable protests, he rises again and makes it clear, "This is my example for you. Do as I have done. Love one another as I have loved you." Love, simple, honest, and humble. The kind of love that rejects power and ambition. Love that is vulnerable and open. Do that with one another. Such love, born of vulnerability, is easy to be found if we would but look for it. In her interview with Krista Tippett, author and scholar Brené Brown notes, quote, "One of the deepest paradoxes about vulnerability is when I meet you, vulnerability is a very thing I try to find in you. And it's the very last thing I want to show you in me. Because of this, it is the glue that holds connection together. It is, as she says, all about our common humanity." And as she says elsewhere in the same interview, when she asked in her research what vulnerability was, quote, "The answers were things like sitting with my wife, who has stage 3 breast cancer, and trying to make plans for our children. My first date after my divorce. Saying, 'I love you' first. Asking for a raise, sending my child to school, being enthusiastic and supportive of him, and knowing how excited he is about the orchestra tryouts, and how much he wants to make first chair, and encouraging him and supporting him, and knowing that's not going to happen. To show up at the hospital with a bouquet of flowers, to cross the room and strike up a conversation with a stranger in the midst of a crowd, to ask how another is doing and to mean it. Or even better, to answer honestly the same question when asked. To build new relationships, to welcome visitors and to listen to each other's stories, to clean up after the event when not asked to do it, to feed the hungry, to ask for help. That is what tonight is all about. To be vulnerable. To place our feet in the hands of another. To expose to someone else that which is broken and hurting and not altogether beautiful in us. This is to risk being hurt again ourselves. But it is also the possibility of transformation for us and for the world around us. Washing each other's feet, Jesus says, is the way forward. Perhaps the only way forward. Or as was said in a poem by Michael Blumenthal, read recently on the Writer's Almanac, such kindness as is required to allow us to be vulnerable with one another is not only good for our souls and for others, it is, as he says, perhaps that kindness is our best audition for a worthier world. He writes, why not inundate the particular world with minute particulars? Dust, certainly all our fate, so why not make it the happiest possible dust, a detritus of blessedness? Surely the hedgehog, furling and unfurling into its spiked little ball, knows something that, with gentle touch and unthreatening tone, can inure to our benefit. Too much of our unruly animus has already been wasted on reprisals. Too much of the unblessed air is filled with smoke from undignified fires. Oh, friends, he says, oh, friends, take whatever kindness you can find and be profligate in its expenditure. It will not drain your limited resources. I assure you, it will not leave you vulnerable and unfurled with only your sweet little claws to defend yourselves and your wet little noses and your eyes to the ground and your little feet. There is no path forward but to wash one another's feet, to show kindness, to show vulnerability to one another. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another.